a very thin agenda. Item one, apologies for absence.
Yes, Chairman, apologies been received from Councillor Delderfield, Councillor Plowman, Councillor Shrimpton. Councillor Miss Lewis is attending as substitute for Councillor Delderfield. Councillor Mrs Thompson is attending as substitute for Councillor Plowman. And Councillor Durham is attending as substitute for Councillor Shrimpton.
Welcome. Didn't realise this committee was so popular. Okay, I have to tell you at the start of the meeting that we now have sound recording of meetings following the recent council meeting where that was agreed. So please note the council will be recording any part of this meeting held in open session for subsequent publication on the council's website. At the start of the meeting, an announcement will be made, which I'm making, about the sound recording. Members of the public attending the meeting with a view to speaking are deemed to be giving permission to be included in the recording. Anyone wishing to make their own audio recording may only do so after informing me before the start of the meeting, and no one has done that, so no one will be doing so. Item 2, to confirm the minutes of the Finance and Corporate Services Committee held on the 29th of July 2014. Agreed. Okay, item 3, disclosure of interest, to disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interest, other pecuniary interest or non-pecuniary interest relating to items of business on the agenda having regard to paragraph 6 to 8 inclusive of the Code of Conduct for Members. None. Okay. Item 4, public participation.
None.
There is none. Item 5, supplementary estimates environments.
Thank you. Good evening, members. This report sets out the supplementary estimates environments that have been approved under delegated powers between the 8th of July and the 3rd of September. There are two revenue environments that have been approved. They have fallen within the same budget heading, so that's been approved by the Head of Service and the Head of Finance. There's a supplementary estimate in 2.3. Again, that's been approved via delegated powers for £7,000 for consultancy support. Thank you.
Members, very straightforward, all agreed?
Noted.
Good. Okay, on to the next item. Item 6, review of financial regulations and contract procedure rules.
Thank you. This report just sets out some minor amendments to the financial regulations and contract procedure rules, following some changes that have come about via the senior management restructure and some post changes, in that we no longer have a head of financial services or a strategic director, which there are various references throughout those documents. So this report sets out amendments that are detailed in 2.2. changing the Head of Financial Services references to Director of Resources and the Strategic Director to Director. It also sets out amendments to an appendix within the financial regulations around our bank mandate, which proposes to further add the other director roles onto there for authorisation purposes. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, all very straightforward. Councillor Lewis, apparently not.
Sorry, no. It was just on Appendix 1, the very last little bit, 9. We're still talking about officers that have been delegated by heads of service. Is that still correct?
Yeah, we still have some heads of service. It's proposed that this will be a further, more detailed review to take part once the Phase 1 and Phase 2 of the senior management restructure go out. But this is kind of the first initial changes to make sure that the majority of references in there are up to date currently.
But what about those heads of service who have already been superseded by directors? Sorry?
They're not heads of service, I don't imagine.
No, but what I'm saying is... Right.
These are only people who have a designation of heads of service. If you don't have a designation of head of service, then you presumably aren't qualified. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Is that great? Great. On to item 7, budget guidelines and a medium-term financial strategy for next year. Ms. Alderson.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. I'll take a little bit longer over this report, if you'll bear with me. This has been an opportunity, as is usual at this time of year, to take a look forward at what the position's looking like over the next 3 years, and in particular the next year for the Council, and update our strategy, and also to make sure that we're happy with the corporate planning principles that we're going by. I think the key thing I wanted to address is that actually for the next couple of years, the financial position is broadly similar in net terms to what we envisaged a year ago, but from year three onwards, the financial position is getting increasingly worse, more risky, and we're going to need to make some significant savings in the future, and therefore it's going to be really important as part of the planning cycle this year to start to think about future years and what we're going to do to address those gaps. If I can just briefly talk you through key elements of the paper, in section 2.4 we talk about the growth pressures and the various things that have been built into the update of the medium-term financial strategy. District council elections, you I'm sure will all be extremely familiar with, coming up next year. There's a routine amount of growth for annual salary growth. What we have done this year is put in a figure for planning appeal costs, because over the last couple of years we have incurred quite a significant expenditure on hearing planning appeals, and therefore I think it's prudent to estimate a figure for planning purposes and acknowledge that that will happen. Similarly, we're going through the process of trying to get the local development plan approved through the inspection, and there are a number of associated costs that have been built into the budget and medium-term financial strategy around that, and also additional contract costs, because we've been reviewing our various major contracts and where there are known potential financial implications, taking those into account. Section 2.5 on government grant is just reminding everybody that we're continuing to have the government strategy of reducing funding into local authorities, and we've taken the latest possible information that we have to estimate that impact going forward. We're continuing in section 2.6 to look carefully at reserves and make projections around our working balances and need to use them. One of the things you'll notice in paragraph 2.6.3 is that I've upped the recommended minimum working balance to 2.3 million, which is higher than previously, and that reflects the increasing levels of risk that all local authorities are facing. If I move on to section 2.8, despite the fact that we've had a number of increases in growth pressures, there are quite a few efficiency savings or additional income lines that we've taken into account. The senior management restructure will be generating some savings from next year. The new leisure contract, which has been an enormous successful procurement, has led to a significant saving that we can now build into the budget and medium-term financial strategy. And I have to say, although I know that it's an unpopular thing in many areas, the wind farm income from a financial point of view is extremely beneficial and is one of the things that is helping this council significantly to manage its budgets going forward, and puts us in a better position, to be perfectly frank with you, than many other district councils are in, who are facing really severe pressures. And I think it's really important to emphasise that point. And without that income over the coming years, we'd be in a much, much, much trickier financial position. If we just look at section 2.9, we've done a comparison with the 2014-15 projections that were made a year ago, and as I said, we were projecting a budgeted shortfall of 531,000, including 350 of reserves. This time we're looking at 350 plus 142, so a slight improvement. And the table there shows you what makes up that. I would like to stress section 2.11, the areas of uncertainty and risk. Obviously, these are very much provisional estimates at the start of our budget and financial planning process. And the what happens over the coming months with the LDP is clearly a key risk for the council, and we've tried to factor in as much as we can the latest position. The wind farm income I've mentioned is a great windfall, if you pardon the pun, but there is a risk of appeal in relation to the business rates payable, and therefore as part of our budgeting our medium-term financial planning, we've set aside a relatively healthy amount for the cost of appeals, which I would always advocate we take a prudent approach. And really, in conclusion, just want to reiterate that point that we've got a number of great additions to income coming in that have really benefited. There's some other costs going out that go in the adverse direction. So for the next couple of years, a relatively modest amount of savings to be made. But in future years, we really need to transform and plan for those. What I would just finish with is saying it's really, really important. I don't like talking about a budget and medium-term financial strategy without coming back to the council's vision and its corporate plan. And it's really important that as members consider their financial options for the future, they do that very much alongside their corporate planning and their vision for the future of Maldon for many years to come. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Again, so quite a lot of detail in this report. I mean, it's worth noting, first of all, that we're, I think, as a result of some very prudent financial management over several years, in a much stronger position than many authorities find themselves in. Notwithstanding that, clearly, you know, government, central government is cutting resources to all of local government, and we have to continue to find efficiency savings, and we may have to look at what footprint we want to have locally as well. But nonetheless, we're in a very strong position, at least relatively speaking, compared with many authorities, and I commend the officers for helping us to put us in that position. Clearly, in the context of the recommendations of the council, this is currently contemplating a 1.85% increase in line with what we had last year in council tax. That is not set at this point. Clearly, that's set much later in the year. So we would come back to that in 6 months' time to determine whether or not we want to have an increase or not. But clearly, in the context of the medium-term financial strategy, some measure of how the council tax might move needs to go into that, and that explains that figure. I think that's all relatively straightforward, hopefully, but if there are any questions. Are those recommendations agreed? Good. Okay, on to the next item, which I think the Chief Executive is going to present. It's worth saying, first of all, that I know this item has created some controversy, at least in the press, but actually it's a relatively straightforward piece, and it's a piece of very sensible housekeeping in the context of risks which are changing. And again, can I pay tribute to officers to be on top of these risks and to present these this to the committee in the way that they have done. There is an addendum which you will have seen for this item number 8 relating to planning staffing, and so please take a look through that as well. Chief Executive.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. Good evening, members. You have before you this evening a report setting out a number of proactive measures that we're looking to take to increase the resource and resilience within our planning team to help address the increased demand and workload arising from major applications. Alongside that, tonight has been tabled an addendum for you that explains the logic behind this. It explains the background to the special measures targets that are set by government. So the fact that the government changed those targets relatively recently to change them from 30 to 40% of applications having less than 30 to 40% of the applications needing to be considered within the defined timescale. The addendum talks about how where our performance was at a point in time. What happens is that we have to report our performance to the DCLG, and they take a 2-year retrospective look. And the measure is undertaken at October, so it will be October 14, taking into account the June 14 figures going back 2 years. And for that particular period, our measure is sitting at 43.1%, so well out of the real risk area, which is very reassuring. But even more reassuring is the fact that since then, as a result of a lot of proactive work around improving, working closely on caseload management systems and so on, and increasing the resource as set out in the report, the performance has risen to 54% provisionally at the end of September. Can't give that for definite yet because we're not at the end of September, but that's where it's heading. So you can see that there has been a continued improvement, which is obviously reassuring to myself and to members. That explains the content of the addendum, and then we go on to the planning staffing report, and this sets out a number of different proposals to try and improve the resilience of the team. Paragraph 2.1 focuses on the development management team, and in particular 2.18 talks about the fact that this year we've agreed additional resource in that team for major applications officers to take on the additional work arising from the major apps that are due to come in very soon and the increased caseload within the team. Members earlier in the year agreed that additional resource, but you agreed it on the basis of a two-year fixed-term contract. So what I'm saying in this report is that that has actually created some difficulties within the team, because to backfill into those roles means you're trying to backfill in a market where there's a shortage of planning staff on a two-year fixed-term contract, and we're not being able to recruit into those roles. So as members have previously resolved to fix them, I'm now asking you to unfix them, it won't be a problem to us, because what we'll need to do is review our caseload ongoing, and if the caseload reduces, we'll consider the staffing resource we need at that time. And as there's a constant turnover within the planning department, really, that it's highly unlikely to put people at risk, because you can deal with it through natural wastage. So that's the first item. That one I actually need your approval on this evening. The next item is planning enforcement, and it talks about the fact that we've experienced difficulties. Our planning enforcement team report current existing arrangements, reporting to the planning development management team leaders. Those team leaders are dealing with the application caseload, which has created difficulties in finding the capacity to give planning enforcement the focus that it really needs. So what I intend to do is have a look under the new planning and regulatory directorate at looking to put in place a corporate compliance team. So we try and look to see if we could move a number of our enforcement areas and functions across the council into that team under a supervisor to lead that approach and improve our systems in that area. In the interim, I'm proposing that we put in a temporary supervisor for planning enforcement, so it can be given more focus. We can look at improving our systems and our approach to caseload management. So that's the second item. Third item relates to man charges. You'll see in paragraph 2.3 that we've significantly over budget on our income this year. That is a function that is required to break even. It shouldn't be in a surplus situation. So I'm proposing that we put in additional land charges officer to support that function. That land charges officer, if they have any capacity, will support the planning admin team. Going on to the planning admin team, I think it's important to explain the situation here. Obviously, the planning admin team support the development management function. All the applications come through that team, and delays within planning admin have a knock-on effect on our performance in development management at a key time when the applications arrive. And we have been in a situation where, at the worst case, we've been 3 weeks behind at admin stage, which is having a significant dent in our capacity to achieve the DCLG targets. So proposing that we put in two additional planning admin officers. All of those changes that I've set out can be funded with an existing income. Our development management income is projected to increase substantially this year. There's also additional fees we put in through our new approach to planning performance agreements. So you'll see within the resources element of the report explains that is fundable. So the recommendations supporting that discussion are set out at paragraph 6, and I'm happy to respond to any questions members might have on this.
So members, this is simply about putting more resilience into the planning department. It is additional cost that's going to be more than offset by incremental income that comes in to development control. And it's very encouraging to see as well that, notwithstanding the figures that are in the report, the latest trends in our response rate are very, very strong. And you know, that puts us in a much stronger position relative to some of these risks. Nonetheless, it's clearly important that that is maintained, that that success is maintained, to make sure that we don't put any of that income at risk. And that's why these measures, I think, are a very sensible proposal to move forward with. Any questions from members? Councillor Mrs. Lewis.
Miss. Yes. Thank you.
Miss Lewis.
Thank you. I think that the council as a whole should be applauded for the proactive stance it's taken on this. I mean, clearly we knew that things were changing almost daily within the planning department and within planning rules being handed down by central government, and I think we've coped incredibly well in anticipating those to keep ourselves in a strong position. One thing that hasn't been mentioned at all is the planning policy team. I mean, clearly we've shown how we're trying to manage the development management team. I think we're all aware of the incredible shortage of planning officers there is nationally at the moment, and I totally understand that we should be lifting that two-year fix, because, well, quite frankly, the planning officers at the moment are about as rare as hen's teeth, so we want to be as attractive as we possibly can in getting in different staff. But we haven't mentioned planning policy, and with the local development plan going through its examination in public, could anybody give me some comfort that we've actually got enough people and the right people within the planning policy team, please?
Can I just respond to that? In paragraph 2.5.1, if you look at that, it does say that there are two reports coming to Planning and Licensing Committee. One's picking up proposals around the building control service, mm-hmm. and a partnership approach to that, and another one is talking about the staff resource to deliver the local development plan, which is exactly what you're referring to, which is the planning policy team. David Coleman is making proposals for a longer-term arrangements there to put in place a sustainable service to allow them to deliver. Mm-hmm. There's still an awful lot of work to do on the local development plan, and so that report's going to the next P&L, and then there will be a report to November Finance to explain the outcome from the planning and licensing discussion. And as the Interim Director of Resources said, when we're putting in place our medium-term financial strategy, we're making assumptions around the increased resource required to deliver the LDP, because, as I've said, there is still, you know, a lot of work to do. So it's an important point, and it's been picked up.
Thank you. Recommendations agreed? Yeah. Councillor Harker.
Wearing my audit chairman's hat, I'm aware that for some time we've had a default on the land charges database. Are there any plans to clean that up?
Oh, any ideas, Mr. Mullins?
What will happen is, obviously, there are a number of changes that are happening to the land charges system at the moment as well. But also, we do undertake what's known as data cleansing on our land charges base to ensure that all the information is accurate. That is being actually done as we did each new charge in. There's data cleansing actually being undertaken at that time, so I can assure you that it is accurate.
Sounds like it might be worth considering more at your audit committee. Are those, without those recommendations, agreed? Councillor Fluker, I think you're a bit late, but I will let you intervene.
Well, that's very, very kind, Chairman, having come all this way this evening. Chairman, I just wonder, one of the things that does grow up with a lot of applicants, planning applicants, is the validation period. And I just wondered if perhaps the Chief Executive or the Head of Service could confirm whether or not spending all this money is going to reduce these figures down to some of our neighbouring to match some of our neighbouring councils. And the other thing that concerns me a little bit about this report is that I appreciate it's forward-facing for something like 2 years, but I think that it would be very, very good to see in the recommendations what we're actually going to deliver in the way of targets. So I would be far more happy if we could say in 2 years' time we've spent all this money, we're now validating all of our applications, shall we say, as quickly as for 93%, Chairman, in 5 days, I'm sure you'd be pleased to hear. And we'll also reduce the amount of time substantially that we deal with these major applications. And I think that those targets should be built into these recommendations so that when we visit this in the future, we can see what we've actually achieved, because I would hate to be in this position in 2 years' time when we're still saying there's a shortage of planning officers and they've still got these problems and these problems. Other than that, Chairman, thank you for letting me speak.
Sensible proposals, Chief Executive.
Thank you, Chairman.
Mr. Lawrence, respond on
the
validation issue. Thank you, Chairman. I would like to assure the members that by putting in this additional resource, it will address the validation issue, because it's not just the numbers of applications, it's the pure complexity of the applications we are getting in. To actually validate some of those major applications, with some applications it can take up to a week because they are so complex. When you're dealing with an application for 400 or 500 houses, it's completely different to one just single houses. So I can assure you that by putting this extra administration resource in, that it would enable us to reduce that, and that I'm sure in the future we will see that we are achieving and exceeding our targets.
But I think we don't appear to see the KPIs come to the committee as frequently as they used to. I know we actually decided we weren't having them as frequently, but I think it does seem like a sensible proposal for that to be part of a planning KPI.
But
I'd just like to say that, yes, we are looking at both the national key performance indicators, and we're also looking at local key performance indicators as well, so we can provide members with more detailed information, but that will be coming on a more regular basis.
Thank you, Mr. Lawrence. Councillor Miss Lewis.
Thank you. I don't think I would lose an enormous amount of sleep if we're in exactly the same position in 2 years' time, because the position we're in is actually much stronger than I think members have thought. Perhaps the one thing we should have improved on is our communication from that department, but they've been so busy that they've probably not had time to tell us. However, when we consider that, as I said earlier, that the national requirements, the national obligations, that the obligations being handed down from national government have been changing week on week, the very fact that we've been able to keep a pace of them and we've managed to still improve on our planning performance is no mean feat. And I think that if we can continue to behave and operate as proactively as we have done, we're in a very comfortable and enviable position.
Indeed. Can I put the recommendation? Are those recommendations agreed? Great. Item 9, any other items of business that I decide are urgent? There are none. So with that, I close the meeting at 7:58.